But does it work? Now, there's a phrase for you. But does it work? Now, if you're wise and you don't care to throw your money away, that's a good question to ask. Like if you were at the garage sale we had a couple of weeks ago and something had a plug attached to it, you better have asked, does this work, or plugged it in and checked it out before you bought it and took it home. Or you buy something on Craigslist, same thing. Does it work? Or at the used car lot, but does it work? Really? I don't mean work like in get me 5 miles down the road, but work as in it's reliable. You name it, wise people know that the first question that a seller or a buyer better ask is, but does it work? And I wonder if the author of Psalm 31 had that same question of God. Now, I get the suspicion that he or she, whoever wrote this psalm, may be using some tricks of language and some beautiful phrases. And some of the phrases are really beautiful as Ricky was reading them. And I hope you go back and look at that psalm to disguise their true need and their true desire. And don't we all use fancy language in prayer sometimes to kind of hide our true need and desire? We kind of beat around the bush. And that is to know if God is listening to our prayers and if it matters if we waste our time praying or not. Now, be honest here, folks, this morning. Haven't we all felt the same way at times in our lives? You know, like that comedian who gets no laughs as they're telling their jokes and they kind of, it's not working, right? Isn't that what they say? It's not working. I don't want to know. Whoever. Is anyone out there, or is it just crickets chirping? Well, I think we've all had those times of unanswered prayer when we do the same thing. Is this prayer thing really working? Because it sure doesn't seem to be. Is anyone out there? Because I need some feedback here. All of which raises the question, what's the real value of prayer? Is it even worth our time and effort? What's the true value of prayer? Is it a two-way street? Is it God as a rock, as in a shelter? Or is it God as a rock, as in silent and unmoving? And how many times have we had our prayers seem to do nothing more than bounce off of a solid rock wall? So does prayer work? And how so? And they're both good questions. For starters, prayer changes us. More than changing the outcome of a situation that we have, whether it's a natural disaster or an illness, prayer changes our relationship with God. Psalm 31 is a prayer for deliverance, and it includes the appeal to God, incline, turn your ear to me, rescue me quickly, be a rock of refuge for me, and a strong fortress to save me. This psalm slash prayer is all about the deepening of a relationship. It asks for God to hear us and rescue us, and it requests that God be a rock of refuge and a place of safety and stability for us, a mighty fortress, salvation. What it doesn't request is a change to the situation being faced. You know, a few years ago, a group called American Atheists put up a billboard outside the Super Bowl which said, "A Hail Mary only works in football." And it doesn't work so much in football either, does it? A Hail Mary only works in football. And that means players should not ask God to help them catch a pass or get the ball into the end zone. Prayer does not change the outcome of a football game. Yes. But the American Atheists were wrong to say that prayer does not work, because prayer changes the people who pray, making them more peaceful, accepting, making them more connected to God. That's the purpose of prayer, that we deepen our relationship with God and feel more connected to God. You are indeed my rock and my fortress. For your name's sake, lead me and guide me, says Psalm 31 in its appeal to God. Prayer doesn't change the path of hurricanes or the outcomes of sporting events, but it does change us. It draws us into deeper relationship with God, who saves us, even as it asks for God's leadership and guidance. You know, one of the most well-known modern prayers is the Serenity Prayer, said first by Protestant theologian Reinhold Niebuhr during World War II, and it is a prayer that is central to the recovery of Alcoholics Anonymous and other 12-step groups. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference, goes the prayer. Notice that God isn't being asked to miraculously deliver the person from alcoholism or drug abuse. God is being asked to give serenity and courage and wisdom to people so that they can become well. As it said in the book about how Al-Anon works, we turn to the God of our understanding for the attributes necessary to live life more fully. In other words, praying people turn to God and ask for help in living better lives. By praying to God that way, millions of people have become sober through 12-step programs and around the world. And in each of those groups, the Serenity Prayer is said to change the hearts and minds of the prayer, not the heart and mind of God. Another value of prayer is that it gives us skills to face the challenges of life. You know, as we journey into spring and with it baseball season, I regret to inform you that prayer will not mean that pitchers will suddenly be able to throw 100-mile-an-hour fastballs, or that batters will be able to knock curveballs out of the park. And you know what, kids, since this is the last few weeks of school and finals are coming up, prayer will not help you ace the exam that you didn't feel like studying for. God is not a replacement for studying for your calc final. Prayer is never a substitute for hard work, but it is indispensable. Does it work? You betcha it does. Now, baseball players and students who pray for serenity, for courage, for wisdom, they will find their prayers answered, and they'll be given all the things that they need to be the best students and athletes that they can be. The same is true for each one of us, whether we're facing a tough situation or a ball game, at school, at home, in the office. Praying is always an asset. Hang in there. Pray for serenity. Pray for courage. Pray for wisdom. Those are three things that we can never have enough of. They also happen to be the three things that I will guarantee you will be given to you when you pray for them. Serenity, courage, and wisdom. Win the lottery? Don't waste your time. Ace that exam you didn't study for? Not going to happen. Have serenity and courage and wisdom in your life? Oh, yeah. Eileen Flanagan wrote a book on the Serenity Prayer called The Wisdom to Know the Difference. And in it, she quotes a study which found that wise people are able to step outside themselves and assess a troubling situation with calm reflection. They recast a crisis as a problem to be addressed or solved. They take action in situations they can control and accept the inability to do so when matters are outside of their control. And those are the kind of challenges that we all face, no matter who we are, no matter what the problem is. The author says, "My times are in your hands." That's also quoted, I believe it's a T.S. Eliot poem, Rabbi Ben Ezra. Anyway, that line, "My times are in your hands," says the author. "Let your face shine upon your servant. Save me in your steadfast love." We're going to experience the greatest serenity when we know that everything we face is in God's hands. And on top of that, we can handle problems better when we believe that God is with us, working to save us in every minute and in every place and in every situation. Another value of prayer is that it aligns us with the will of God for healing and wholeness, not in just our life, but in everyone's life. God wants us to have healing and serenity and courage and wisdom, regardless of the particular challenge we face. And when life is overwhelming, and who hasn't had at least one overwhelming moment in their life, we can pray to God to rescue us and save us, because God wants to save us from the worst that life has to throw at us, even death. Serenity comes from the knowledge that it's in all these things that we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Because neither death nor life nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. So says Paul in Romans. So the million-dollar question for us this morning is, does it work? You bet it does. Prayer changes us, and it draws us closer to God. Prayer gives us skills to face life, and prayer aligns us with God's will. If we're ever looking for some healing and wholeness in our lives, it has to begin in prayer, in conversation with the one who promises to hear us when we pray, the one who is faithful, in honest dialogue with the one who promises that He will never turn us away when we turn to Him. And it is okay to pray all things, the good, the bad, and the ugly. It's okay to pray in anger and frustration and fear and hatred at all of those bad things, as well as it is okay to pray in joy and in thanksgiving. Our words may never be as beautiful as Psalm 31. In You, Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in Your righteousness. Turn Your ear to me. Come quickly to my rescue. Be my rock of refuge, a strong fortress to save me. But you know what? God doesn't need beautiful words, and God doesn't care. What God needs is our heart. And our words may never be as eloquent as good old Reinhold Niebuhr. God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference, living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, taking this world as it is and not as I would have it be, trusting that You will make all things right if I surrender to Your will, so that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with You forever in the next. Amen. That's the entire Serenity Prayer. God isn't searching for eloquence. He's searching for our truth and our honesty in sharing with Him. So as we come to Christ's table this morning in prayer and in thanksgiving, let us listen for God speaking to us, the God who is faithful. Let us be nourished with the body and blood of our Lord and Savior. Then let us get up off our knees and go out those doors back there and do something about it. Let us go and be Christ's hands and feet and Christ's heart and Christ's voice for our world, strengthened with prayer, fed at the table, and ready to be somebody else's answer to prayer. Amen.